So let's read one scripture in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5. It's on page 1227 in this Bible. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. I will read from verse 12. It came to pass, as he was in one of the cities, that behold, there was a man full of leprosy. And seeing Jesus, falling upon his face, he besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou art able to cleanse me. Stretching forth his hand, he touched him, saying, I will, be thou cleansed. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, just as he was. This man, he came to Jesus just as he was. He didn't wait until he was better. Didn't wait until his skin condition had cleared up. He didn't put it off till the next week, the week after that. Jesus was in his city this day. And he came to Jesus just as he was. Didn't feel the need to make himself ready. What could he have done? What can any of us do to make ourselves ready to come to Jesus? We're sinners. We're far from God. There's no way of reaching God in our own efforts. The holiness and the righteousness of God on one hand, and we the sinners on the other. Diametrically opposed. But there's hope for the sinner tonight. This man would have been shunned by society. I think all of us know what it is, even from the youngest here in this room. We know what it is to feel alone. Maybe to be cast out by friends, school, be left alone and shunned. But this man was completely outside. His condition demanded it. Leprosy. In the Bible speaks of our sins, but this man had a natural condition. He had to carry a bell with him and call unclean as he went before. The people scattered, left him alone. No fellowship, no joy. But this Jesus is different. This Jesus was different. This Jesus was the one who came to earth for people such as this leprous man. We sung of it. The Lord who healed the leper is looking on thee now. You know, Jesus is taking account of each of us. He's looking at you. A look of love. A look of grace. A look of mercy. And though thy case discerning, I would to God that somebody in this room tonight or in the world under the sound of the glad tidings would feel their sinnership tonight. Would feel their need of a saviour. The first step on that pathway is to feel how short you've come of the glory of God. There's no other standard that's been set but the glory of God. It's certainly not the standards of the world that shift with the times. Oh, you don't meet the standard, that's okay, we'll just lower it again. No, God's standard has remained the same. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners before the sight of a holy and righteous God. But does he look down and does he condemn? No. Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank be to God that he gave Jesus Christ. Where would we be? Where would any of us be? Where would this man be He took his opportunity. He came to Jesus just as he was. Will you take your opportunity tonight? Full of leprosy, this man could have got much worse. Seeing Jesus, he didn't run away. There was something attractive in Jesus. This man may have heard the stories. They were very early in the Lord's life. But he'd heard earlier on, he was having Luke 40, when the sun went down, all as many as had persons sick with diverse diseases brought them to him, having laid his hands on every one of them, he healed them. Every one. You know, the doctors in this world are fantastic, and the health care that they can give out to save one or two. But Jesus healed every single one. He fell on his face, besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt." This man didn't want to presume, but the Lord was willing to save. Jesus could speak of himself later in this book, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." This man was lost. We're all lost before we're found by Jesus. Thank God for everyone who knows what it is to be found by Jesus tonight. Oh, we cannot doubt the willingness of Jesus to save when we look at Calvary's cross. The extent to which his love was prepared to take him. As his nails were driven through his hands and through his feet. As he was lifted up to Zai, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As his body slumped in agony on that cross. Oh, doubt not, he is able. But take him at his word without the if, exclaiming, "Thou wilt, thou canst, O Lord." There was no doubt in this man's mind that he was able to do it. He had faith for that. Well, speaks in another scripture that he's able to save to the uttermost. That is completely. There was no leprosy left behind in this man. There was nothing left. Jesus said, "I will." He didn't just speak a word. He could have just spoken a word. He reached out and touched the leper. Touched a leper. Oh, how touching is the mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus. He touched a leper. Anybody who touched a leper of old was unclean and at risk of catching the infection. Not so the Lord Jesus. Perfect, holy, sinless. Never could he be defiled by such a thing, but he identified himself with the leper. Touched him. Think of the glory of who was here. Think of the holiness of the one who walked this earth. And yet he was prepared to touch the leper. No, he's prepared to save you and I tonight. Went on to Calvary's cross, I've said, nailed his hands and through his feet, lifted up to die for some time in the view of all those who were there, railed upon. Mocked. Save thyself. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. No, he was there to save you and I. He was there to face God's judgment for the sins that you and I had committed. And in 3 hours of darkness, oh, there was no one else who could face that judgment. There was no one else who could face that sword that had been drawn. Really, that sword that had been drawn right at the very beginning at the Garden of Eden, you know. God placed the angel with a flashing sword at the entrance to the Garden of Eden, just in case anybody gained access to the Tree of Life. But that sword was sheathed at Calvary's cross, as that sword went through the heart of my Saviour. When he faced God's wrath for the sins that you and I have committed, but also for the whole question of sin itself. Everything dealt with by Jesus. Every small sin, every little thing that's written down, records meticulously kept by God, you know. This world, records are kept. This is how we know the history of what's gone on before. Records are kept. They're open. We can look at them. Sometimes these records can be damaged. Sometimes they can be incomplete. God's records are never damaged and are never incomplete. And one day these books will be opened. The gates will be opened. And out of these books be judged, dear friend, according to your actions, according to the times that you've sat under the gospel preaching and heard God's free offer of grace, heard the opportunity, having the opportunity to repent tonight of your sins, of coming to Jesus as you are. There'll be no excuses. But I didn't feel I was able, but I didn't feel I was good enough. I wasn't quite ready. The records will be pointed at the times you've refused God's offer of grace and not taken the opportunity as this man did. No, we can point to the cross tonight. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He gave up his life. He suffered. He cried, "It is finished." He finished the work, exhausted God's judgment. Who else could do that, you know? In 3 hours, face the awfulness of God's judgment against the sins that you and I have committed. And deal with all that had come in from Adam forward. Right up until the present day. Right up until the time that the gospel finishes. Jesus dealt with it all. No one else could do that. Gave up his life. Voluntarily went into death. Oh, we've had 2 funerals this week. This past week. Bringing into focus the reality of death. For these 2 beloved saints, death was not a trial. Death was the entrance into paradise with Jesus. As the Lord said to the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The portion is very much better, but death remains. But Jesus went into death, faced it in all its power, in all its awfulness, but he's broken its power. He's come out triumphant and he's now at God's right hand, crowned with glory and honour. But the cross stands at testament today to the work that he's finished. The work he completed there for you, if you'll put your faith and trust in him. Oh, come to the Saviour. Come to him in all your needs. Come to him just as you are. The invitation is heaven's actually to come. I have come and found a blessing of it. I wish many more would come, but the invitation itself comes from heaven. While we give God's invitation, heaven itself re-echoes, "Come." Oh, all the blessings of heaven can be yours. You look at the world around about, what does it have to offer? Wars and rumours of wars and strifes and hatred, the envy, territory gained, territory lost, loneliness, bitterness. Hymn writer says, heaven with its fadeless joy, may yet to you belong. It can be yours. Jesus can be yours. A blessed thing to know that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you belong to him. You have him as your saviour now and forever. And all the way home, saviour, this man, his leprosy departed from him. Departed, it left. Where did it go? Jesus bore it to Calvary's cross, typically. Who is able to forgive sins? Only God, was the cry later on. Who was here? God manifest in flesh, who yes could say to the man who was born in the paralytic man, thy faith has saved thee, thy sins are forgiven thee. But he only could say that because he knew he was to bear that man's sins to Calvary's cross. He bore the judgment, as I've said, and is now a risen, glorious Saviour. As he's looking down tonight, he's interested. What will your response be to the glad tidings? What will your response be to the preaching? Can God tonight take your name, blot out with the blood of Jesus your sins, and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? A blessed thing, you know, to have your name written there. This one came just as he was. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. Wipes away that slate. You know, sometimes we can think about past sins. As children, we can think of times we've upset our parents or whatever. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. Wiped completely clean. Like their razor. You know, but sometimes you take a razor at school and you rub out the pencil, but you can still see the marks. Sometimes, you know. Sometimes the quality of the rubber's not so good. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, makes as if you'd never sinned. Oh, what it is to be washed in the blood of Jesus. There was a leper of old, Naaman, spoke of him this afternoon. He plunged in the Jordan 7 times. He was told to do something, he went and did it eventually. It speaks of his skin becoming as that of a little child. That's what the gospel does for you. Removes the stain completely and brings you into the presence of God, a new creation. Well, may I encourage you tonight, simple thought, feebly spoken, but come just as you are. Don't wait. The hymn writer says all the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. And even as believers, you know, sometimes we don't just come to Jesus. Come as you are. Find in him the grace that's able to meet your every need. Sometimes we think we can face things on our own. Sometimes we think, oh, this problem's not too big, it's okay. We'll not bother the Saviour with it. Come as you are. Bring it to him. Find the peace of knowing, yes, your sin's forgiven, but knowing that he has the situation in his hands. We'll finish with the hymn, Just As I Am, but the backstory, maybe many in this room will know it. The woman who wrote it was born in the late 1700s. Into an evangelical, high society family. Who did a lot of work for God. At the age of 33, she was laid aside. Eventually found herself completely and utterly bedbound, unable to move. Unable to move. She was like, what is the point in my life? I can't serve God. There were others that were doing things, other family members, the brother became this and that, and they were doing things. And eventually she poured out her frustrations to a visiting Swiss preacher, I think. So what can I do for God in this state? I'm useless. His simple word to her was, come just as you are. Come just as you are. 13 years later, she took that on board, but another 13 years down the line, it was awakened in her soul again. Some other evangelical thing was going on. And she penned these 6 verses, just as I am. Just as I am, he received me, seeking from judgment to flee. She would go on to write 150 hymns. And how many, particularly just as I am, but how many will have been used in the blessing of myriads. Come just as we are. God is able. The Lord is able. He's able for our sins. He's able for our failures. He's able for absolutely everything. Just come to him. May we do so for his name's sake.